So the big question, who is Satan? And all those questions we asked. And I don't know about you, but often if I'm asked those questions, but maybe at work by someone who's trying to trip you up or ask you questions that you can't answer. So today we're going to have a look at this. And sorry, Johnny, for being a nuisance with this. I'll go on to the next one now. And we're going to look at it under three headings. Firstly, Satan's origin. Secondly, Satan's rebellion and fall. And then Satan's work of deception in the Garden of Eden. The name Satan means adversary, I'm told. And the first time that the name Satan is mentioned in the Bible historically or in date order is in Job 1, where he appears, and we know the story of Job. But Satan's actions in what is a perfect world in the Garden of Eden first are recorded when he appears in the form of the crafty serpent in Genesis 3, and he appears in the Garden of Eden. And we know that throughout Scripture that Satan is called many things. He's called the devil. He's called the deceiver, the accuser, the destroyer, the tempter, the god of this world, the prince of this world, the prince of devils, the old serpent, the dragon, the father of lies, the murderer, and the wicked one. And some of these names were actually used by Jesus to describe him. And who was Satan then, and what was his origin? Well, Satan was originally part of the heavenly host, and I believe that he was in heaven. And one thing that we can all agree on without any doubt is that Satan had to be created by God, because God created the heavens and the earth, and in those 6 days he created man, he created the animals, he created the Garden of Eden. And Satan is a created being, so he had to be created by God. And most commentators believe that he was an angel and that he was originally part of that perfect heavenly host that was in heaven, created by God. Now, the thing about angels, they're not like human beings. Human beings started off with two people being created, Adam and Eve, and they were told to go forth and multiply and fill the earth. But angels are different. Angels are not like humans. They don't reproduce. They're spiritual in form, and they were created probably on the first day of creation by God to be ministered around the throne of God. The word angel means messenger, and as we said, angels most often are spiritual and not physical. Jesus says, or Hebrews 1 says, that they're ministering spirits. And when Jesus is talking about marriage and the giving of marriage and what heaven will be like, he says, in heaven we will be like angels because there will be no marriage or no giving in marriage. You see, angels don't reproduce. All angels were created in that perfect creation, every one of them at one time. But on occasions, angels have appeared in Scripture in bodily form. Do you remember when Lot was in Sodom, the two angels in the form of men appeared to him, and they went with him to their house? And when the men of the city tried to attack the house, the angels struck the men outside with blindness so that they couldn't find the door. And do you remember when the women went to the tomb, there was a young man there who was an angel, and he spoke to them. So they do appear; they have appeared in bodily form, but they are spiritual beings. But most of all, they're messengers. And Gabriel came to Zacharias. Do you remember he came and told John the Baptist John the Baptist's father that he was going to have a son. And Gabriel came and told Mary that she was going to give birth to the Messiah. And we hear in Jude 9 about Michael the archangel. So There's obviously some sort of rank and organization amongst angels. So many people believe, many commentators believe that Satan, and I believe scripture tells us that Satan was part of that heavenly host. He was perfect. He was sinless. He was made probably on the first day as part of that creation. At the end of the 6 days, God said, it's all very good. So there was no sin and there was no rebellion. And at that stage, Satan was probably very good. But what happened to him? What happened to Satan that he was fall? He was made good. Now, John MacArthur, if you would like to turn to Ezekiel 28, and John MacArthur speaks about Satan, and he believes that in Ezekiel 28 that the word of God is speaking to the king of Tyre, but most importantly, he believes that the word of God is speaking about Satan and his origin. So if you're in Ezekiel 28, verse 11, this is speaking to the king of Tyre. But many believe that it is also speaking about Satan. And I have to admit, when I read this, some of the things that are said cannot refer to the king of Tyre, and they must refer to Satan. Halfway through verse 12, it says about Satan, "You were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God," and there's no way the king of Tyre could have been in Eden. "Every precious stone adorned you, ruby, topaz, etc." And then in verse 14, it says, "You were anointed as a guardian cherub or angel, for so I ordained you." And there's no way the king of Tyre was a guardian cherub. "You were in the holy mountain. You walked among the fiery stones." Verse 15, "You were blameless in the ways, in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you." And if you just keep your finger in there and turn back to Isaiah 14, it's talking about the king of Babylon. And John MacArthur again says that in the first instance, this is a prophecy against the king of Tyre, but he's also saying it's speaking about Satan. Isaiah 14, verse 12. And if you've got the AV here, this is the only place that the word Lucifer is used in the Bible. Isaiah 14, verse 12. "How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer." So we believe that Satan was part of that heavenly host. And as we go on today, we will see that in other places in the Bible, it talks about part of that heavenly host rebelling, and that was Satan and his angels. Do you know what a position Satan had, hadn't he? He was part of that heavenly host of God. He was a guardian cherub or angel. He was perfect. He was full of wisdom. He was beautiful. And what a position he had. He was created in the first day of creation. And then on the sixth day, he was still perfect because God said that all he had made was good. Thanks, Johnny. So then we see, secondly, what happened to Satan? What happened to him? He rebelled and he fell, because Satan doesn't remain in heaven. And the next time we see Satan is in Genesis 3 as a serpent. Obviously something happened. If you just turn back to Ezekiel 28 and verse 15 again, it says there, "You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you." Verse 16, halfway through, "So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, O guardian angel." And if you turn over the page then to verse 17, "Your heart became proud on account of your beauty. So I threw you to the earth, and I made a spectacle of you." If you flick back to Isaiah, John MacArthur says again in Isaiah 12, How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer. And he believes clearly that this is Satan. Verse 13 of Isaiah 14. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you were brought down to the grave. And you might say to me, well, that's a prophecy, and we can't be 100% sure that that's why Satan had rebelled and was cast out of heaven. Well, let's turn to 1 Timothy 3. Sorry for all the moving about. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 6. And it's talking about overseers and deacons, and who should be appointed to the position of an overseer of or a deacon. 1 Timothy 3 and 6. And it says there, verse 6, he must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited, and listen to this bit, and fall under the same judgment as the devil. Conceited, and being puffed up, and being proud. Okay, those other two pieces in Ezekiel and Isaiah, you might argue with me, how do we know those refer to Satan? Well, here in Timothy, we see very clearly that the sin, the rebellion of Satan was that he became conceited. He became arrogant and puffed up. It was pride, you see. It was pride that caused him to fall. And pride is a terrible thing. If we turn to Luke 10, this is probably one of the last ones you have to turn to. And this is Jesus himself speaking about Satan falling from heaven. Luke 10, verse 17. Jesus had sent out the 72. He had sent them out and he had given them the power to speak and to heal and to cast out demons. And they could do that. And when they come back to Jesus, it says they come back with joy in verse 17. Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And Jesus could see their hearts. He could see their pride. He could see that they had become conceited, that all this spiritual power had made them puffed up. Jesus reminds them what happened to Satan. Verse 18, he replies, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. J.C. Ryle says that Jesus is reminding them not to become too proud in the work of the kingdom. J.C. Ryle says that Jesus could see their hearts and they had become puffed up and proud. And that's why Satan fell from heaven to earth, because he had become so proud. But you know the thing? Satan didn't just fall from heaven. But if you turn to Revelation verse 12. Frederick Leakey also says that we see here that Revelation 12 and verse 3. Not only did Satan sin and rebel and become proud in heaven and try and usurp the position of God, but we also see that a lot of angels in heaven did the same. Verse 3, we see verse 4, it's talking about the dragon, about Satan. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. Verse 9 of chapter 12, the great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan. So not only did Satan fall, but many of the angels fell as well. And as you go home today, read Jude 6 and Jude 9 and also 2 Peter 2 and places like that, where God clearly talks about there was a perfect creation. All the angels were created, but there was elect and non-elect angels. And people don't like those words, but that's what the Bible says. The elect angels did not fall, 1 Timothy 5, verse 21, but the non-elect angels, including Satan, fell to earth. Do you know the thing I can't answer? Why did God allow Satan to sin in the first place? Why did God allow Satan, when he was cast out of heaven, to enter the Garden of Eden? Why did God not just send Satan straight to the hell that was prepared for him? Leakey says that this sin, all we can say is that it's a permissive decree of God. And you know, on this side of heaven, we will never understand God's plan, or why God permitted Satan to rebel, or why God permitted Satan to go into the Garden of Eden. And so much of this is veiled from our eyes. But the one thing is certain, God created a perfect heaven and earth. At the end of the sixth day, it was all very good. There was no sin. But that has been broken. Satan becomes proud. Satan becomes so proud and arrogant of his beauty, his wisdom. He wants to be like God. He wants to usurp the position of God. And he rebels against God. And he's thrown out of heaven. You see, before this there was peace. But now there's God and there's Satan. Now there's evil and there's good. And the war has begun between Satan and the children of God. You know, the problem was pride. And I'll ask you, each one today, as I ask myself, pride was Satan's big downfall, wasn't it? He was proud of his position. He wanted to be like God. And isn't pride our problem so often? No matter who we are, we're proud. We're proud of our homes. We're proud of our jobs. We're proud of our cars. We're proud of our children. We're proud of our education. We're proud of our church. We're even proud of our spiritual condition. We're even proud sometimes that we're so humble. We're proud that we're so reformed in Presbyterian circles, and there's nothing wrong with that, but the problem is we're proud so often. And doesn't pride cause so many problems within families and within the church? How dare he talk to me like that, or how dare he say that to me? And the root cause of it all is our pride. And you know, it was the thing that caused Satan to fall from heaven. And Satan has had 6,000 years of experience of tempting us, and he still uses the sin of pride to tempt us so much of the time amongst our churches and amongst Christians. You remember when the 72 came back and they had driven out demons and they had done so much and they were so proud of what they were able to do. And yet Jesus says to them, I saw Satan falling from heaven like lightning, to remind them that Satan had become proud. Jesus says to them, rejoice not that you cast out demons, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. And you know, when things are going so well in church, isn't it so easy to be proud like the 72 people, that people are getting saved? And so often that pride can lead to us being like the 72 and thinking that we have done something. Yet we have done nothing. Everything we have is from God. If someone is saved, it is from God. And all we are is a servant. So let us remember that work of pride. And then we see, thirdly, we see, thanks Johnny, we've seen Satan's origin. We've seen Satan's rebellion and fall. And then we see Satan's work of deception in Eden. And you know, Genesis 3 is so, well, I think it's complicated. I think there's so much in it. Adam had been put in the garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were the only two people that were ever created. They weren't born of an earthly mother. A man asked me at work one day, did that mean that Adam and Eve had no belly buttons? And I didn't know the answer to that, but it was a very good question, because they were created. They were not inside a mother's womb. So Satan's work of deception in the garden. When God put Adam in the garden, he said, "You must not eat from the tree in the middle of the garden of knowledge of good and evil." And as we said to the children, even the tree of life, Adam was free to eat of the tree of life because there was no death in the garden. And at that stage, man had not sinned. So he was free to eat from the tree of life. But the great test for man's love for God was, would he keep this command? Would he eat from the tree of knowledge, or would he not, or would he resist it? And we see Satan turns up on the scene in the form of a serpent, and people would say, well, how could Satan go inside a serpent to tempt Adam and Eve? Well, on the night when Jesus was betrayed, it clearly says that Satan entered Judas Iscariot. And we also know the story of the man called Legion, who was possessed by evil demons. Leakey says that demons and angels, demonic demons and angels are the same thing. The man Legion was possessed by these demons, and Jesus cast them out, and he put them into a herd of pigs, and they ran over the cliff and were drowned. So Satan has entered the serpent here, and Satan is speaking, and we see firstly he speaks to Eve, and he makes Eve doubt, and he says, and I don't believe Adam was present at this point. You see, the natural order was God created man. God created woman, but she was taken out of man, and man had dominion over the animals. And it's almost working in the reverse, because the animal serpent is tempting the woman, and the woman tempts the man. Well, I don't know about tempt, but it's reverse order from God's creation, how the temptation worked. And he says to her, you must not eat from any tree in the garden. And God didn't say that. God says you can eat from any tree, even the tree of life, but not from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. 3 verse 2, what does Eve say? Genesis 3 verse 2 says, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle. And you must not touch it. And God didn't say that. And she says, or you will die. And God didn't say that else. God says, when you eat of it, you will surely die. And as we said to the boys and girls, God said to Adam when he put him in the garden, he says, when you eat from the tree of knowledge, you will surely die. And God knew that Adam would fail. And then we see in Genesis 3, verse 4, Satan again says, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. Satan's such a liar. Jesus says he's the father of lies, and he's been a liar from the beginning. And that's how Satan deceives us, and it's no different today. He comes to God's people. He even came to Jesus. Do you remember when Jesus was tempted for 40 days by the devil? And again, he uses that same deception as he used with Eve in the garden. And what happens? Eve sees that it's good for food. She wants to get wisdom. And it's pleasing to the eye, and she eats it. She eats the fruit, and then we see that at this point, her eyes are not opened, and I think this is a very important point. When Eve eats the fruit, her eyes are not opened at that point. But when she takes it to Adam, and Adam eats the fruit, it says both their eyes are opened. You see, Adam was our representative in the garden, not Eve. And it was only when Adam ate of the fruit that their eyes were opened and they knew they were naked. And then they sewed the fig leaves together. And you know, we have no time to go into the rest of it, but we see in Genesis 3:15, we see there that God promises the Savior, and he says, I will put enmity between you, he's speaking to Satan, and the woman, and between your offspring or seed and hers. And he's speaking here, the seed that he's speaking of is Christ. And isn't it interesting here that God's looking forward to the virgin birth, because he says the offspring of the woman. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit through Mary. He didn't have an earthly father, and Jesus couldn't have an earthly father because he would have inherited the sin of the first Adam. So we see here that what happens. We see man sins. God promises them a savior. And you know, throughout history, doesn't Satan try to prevent the savior being born? And when you read through the Old Testament and all the things that happened to God's chosen people, Satan tried to prevent that line of Jesus. And even when Jesus was born, Satan moved through Herod to kill all the young boys. Satan has been trying to defeat the plan of God and the plan of a savior. When Jesus was born, Satan tried to tempt him so that he wouldn't go to the cross. Well, praise God, we have a promised savior, and he has come, and he has crushed the head of Satan on the cross. And no, it's all right, Lawrence is getting a call there, so he is. It's okay, Lawrence, I couldn't resist that one. So Christ has crushed the head of Satan on the cross, but we still live in a period, and the Bible says so clearly that the devil still prowls around. Even though Christ has defeated him on the cross, there's still another day when Christ will finally defeat Satan and put him and his angels into the pit of hell. But we live in a day where Satan still tempts us, and Satan still comes with his fiery darts. The word tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual forces of evil. And we still live in a day, even though Christ defeated him on the cross, that Satan still has some power, although it is only under the permitted will of God. And he is still a strong foe, and we can't resist him on our own. And he does come, and he does tempt us, and he leads us the wrong way, and he makes us proud, and he makes us argue with each other, and he makes us fall out with each other. He breaks marriages, he breaks churches. And all the young people that he leads astray to drugs and all those things, he promises so many good things, and yet he's a liar and a deceiver. The Bible says we must put on the full armor of God. We must be strong in the Lord so that we can take our stand against the devil. And you know, just finally, when Jesus was teaching us the Lord's Prayer, he says, deliver us from the evil one. And even though Christ has defeated him on the cross, there is a period where Satan still has some power. He is no more powerful than God, because he is a created being. You know, we live in a period of spiritual warfare, and we must know the tactics of our enemy. An unsafe person here today, there's only two types of. It's a military battle. It's between Satan and up against God. And there's a campaign going on of Satan's people against God's people. Unsafe person today, you're on God's side, and he is the one who will overcome. But unsafe person, I'm sorry to say today that there's only two types of children. There's children of God and children of the devil. And if you're unsaved, you're still on the devil's side. And on the final day, the devil, it says, will be cast in to the tomb, and he will into the pit of hell, and he will be destroyed. So we've seen today, we've seen what has happened. We've seen Satan's origin, we have seen Satan's rebellion and fall, and we have seen Satan's work of deception in the garden. And as we started out by saying at the beginning, let's not become infatuated with how powerful the devil is. Let's understand that he is a powerful foe, but Christ has defeated him on the cross, and Christ will one day put him away into the pit of hell and destroy him forever. Let's just pray.